Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes. So write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You gotta find what works for you. Find a balance that lets you be you.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. It is a wonderful Wednesday evening in the heart of Kentucky, broadcasting to you live. This is Steven Zimmer for episode number 361. Thank you to the band Far Cry for the great intro music that we've had for a while. We love it. And check it out, their latest album for sure. They've got three gems out there with a heck of a lead guitar player, Pete Fry. Tonight, joining me in the co-hosting slot is the one, the only, the vivacious, the lovely Holly Phillippe.
You about forget my name, Zimmer?
Almost gave you a nickname because we're coming off of WrestleMania weekend, and for the third year in a row, I watched it with the Pelicans. Yes, Branson, Addison, and Bentley, and of course their folks, Jordan and Beck. It was grand, and got to see my favorite wrestler, Rhea Ripley, win the women's title, so that was quite a joy and very exciting. And but yes, that's probably why I want to give you a nickname, and I'm fired up, and I intend to give a good intro tonight for our fantastic guest, who is a show favorite, a convention favorite, and he will be joining us very shortly. Chat room is filling up. The awesome Carol Preflatish is in there. I see Amy McCorkle. Holly's in there. Our guest of tonight is in there, but I will wait to give our guest the proper intro, so I won't say who it is just yet. But, hey, you should know if you checked our promos out. But anyway, how are you doing tonight, Holly?
Oh, well, just I'm working on Imaginarium stuff, you know, every day. That's what I told the lovely people in the Star Chamber chat there that's what I was doing. I was a little slow getting in there. And Miss Amy McCorkle was wondering where all the ladies were at. Well, I was a little late getting in there because I'm working on some workshop scheduling and all that good stuff. So, yeah.
Oh,
but we got
yep,
some,
a lot
we got
of stuff.
Some neat additions that Stephen's going to read off here shortly. And,
yes.
And yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's about, and we just come off a long weekend of WrestleMania, which Miss Rhea Ripley, that Stephen adores, she's metal, and she won
very metal
SmackDown Women's Champion belt. Yeah, we always watch it with the Pelicans, and my son Noah come over, so they had the oldest grandkids here, and their mom and dad, and yeah, we had a good time, and we had a special visit from David Sheridan, all.
David Sheridan.
He stayed with
yep.
us a few days, and that was great. We got to see David, and we're going to have to get him on the show soon so he can tell everybody what he's been up to. Doing a lot of 3D
mm-hmm.
printing. He will be back to Imaginarium this year. He's all excited for that. Can't wait to see everybody. He was bummed he had to miss it last year. But, yeah, he's going to bring some 3D stuff that he's worked on and everything. Yeah, he makes lamps, all kinds of cool stuff. Pretty neat.
Yeah, the kids thought he was so
yeah.
cool that they conferred Pelican status upon him. So, yes, he is also known as part of the Pelican group now. Kids liked him. And, yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, we definitely had those WrestleMania things are quite fun. I had not watched for literally decades before. 3 years ago, but yeah, it's become quite the yearly tradition and a lot of fun. And I just enjoy it. I'm not an expert. I don't follow it year round, but I do enjoy these WrestleManias quite a bit. But yes, Holly said, we have, had another busy week. I mean, just every week we've just got more and more and more great stuff coming to you for the 10th anniversary of Imaginarium. And, yeah, we had some killer new programming added, new panelists, new sponsor, new spotlighted guest. So in the area of workshops since last week, we added a growing engaged newsletter list presented by Haley Bridgman, and she is awesome. She sold over, literally sold over a million books. She knows what she's doing, folks. But yeah, that's a growing and engaged newsletter list. Then we also have an audiobooks ACX process presentation from William Joseph Roberts, the one of the main forces behind Three Ravens Publishing. And then we also have Writing the Romantic Mystery, presenter Lynn Slaughter, who just is a absolutely a great writer, and definitely love having her aboard at Imaginarium. And then a really intriguing panel called Defaults from Michelle Gussow. And, yeah, it's kind of about a lot of things dealing with life post-COVID and about, you know, getting the creative process going. It's definitely read that full description on the site if you get a chance, because it looks like a gem of a workshop. And then we added one new panel, Writing Romance 101, and the moderator has been named Jessica Minyard. And so that's gonna be a really good one, folks. So, yeah, four new workshops, one new panel. And as far as panelists, we added several just great ones. Three more today, three toward the end of last week. Melissa Olthoff, also Melissa Goodman. Yes, one half of Healing Hands Entertainment. Yes, with the great Amy McCorkle. So, yes, that's where you've heard Melissa Goodman before. Nick Plume has also been added. And then we also have today we added H.Y. Gregor, C.W. Gray, and John R. Osborne. All have been added. All three of those are they're all authors, all added as panelists. We also tonight announced that award-winning filmmaker, actor, screenwriter, musician, cosplayer, and artist Herschel Zond is a spotlighted guest that went out before the show. And so that has been added. And then we also proudly welcome Renmelian as an official sponsor, of course, also known as Anna Maria Salvaggio. And she will be on the show in April to bring us up to date on all of her stuff, because, I mean, she is literally, I mean, just a creative renaissance woman. I mean, she's an illustrator, an author, a designer, an editor, a publisher, a live streamer. I mean, just, cosplay. Yeah, she's with the Kentucky Browncoats.
Don't forget.
Everything.
Hey, she's also a captain.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And, the Kentucky Browncoats are going to be coming in tonight. Not tonight. Tonight. No, the convention is not tonight. This summer. but
no,
Renmelian has come.
Yes.
But yes, they have joined. Renmelian is an official sponsor. Thank you so much for coming aboard. These make all the difference in the world because, yeah, we don't have big grants or major corporate sponsorships. So these sponsorships that we get, whether they are the individual ones or the any of the levels, like bronze and gold and all that, then, I mean, those all make a huge difference for us in putting on the convention. So, yeah, we are a very much a grassroots funded thing. So, but yes, all that just in the last week. Not bad, Holly. That's quite a bit. Yeah, six panelists, spotlight guests, sponsor, programming. I mean, a lot. So that's that. But we're going to go ahead and recognize the two folks that brought you tonight's show. And tonight, bringing you to this awesome show coming up here, and our guest is Sandy Lender, the genre blender, and also the one and only Ren Garcia. So last time I think we did we did Ren first, so this time we'll go Sandy. We'll give you a spot from Sandy, and then we'll give you a chance to hear Ren's and answer that famous question. So here's Sandy.
Author Sandy Lender invites you to visit her website at authorsandylender.com to pick out a new favorite story to read this spring. You're sure to find a strong young lady, a clever vampire, a self-assured fairy, or a fabulous dragon to join on a new journey. Start your next adventure at authorsandylender.com and make some new quest friends. Welcome to Sandy's various fantasy worlds, where some days you just want the dragon to win.
Thank you, Sandy. And yes, folks, exceptional writer Sandy is. So go pick up some of her books. Tell her thank you for supporting the show and also the convention. I mean, she is just a really wonderful, wonderful individual. So here we go for Ren Garcia. Folks, get on him. Tell him he needs to come to Imaginarium. But here's Ren and that famous question.
The League of Elder dares to be unusual. It's easy to be swept away in this bold and uninhibited landscape where fantastic heroes become old friends and sinister villains inhabit every dark corner. Dare to explore things best left alone. Each book is your lantern, lighting the path to a world never before seen. So what do you say? Are you weird enough for us?
Yes. Yes, we are,
yep,
Ren Garcia.
Yes, Ren Garcia, we are weird enough for you.
We are. And great guy. Love Ren. He's just so much fun and creative. And his League of Elders series is truly an original speculative fiction series. I mean, he literally has one of the longest fight scenes in, I think, literary history in one of them. Yeah, we definitely always try to bring him on each year to bring us up to date on stuff. But, yeah, we haven't seen him live since the, you know, as far as Imaginarium, since all the pandemic mess. So hopefully this year he'll feel up to coming down and joining us. And so keep the campaign going with him. So, yes, we're getting ready to bring aboard our featured guest in just a second. But looking into the chat room, it looks like Metal Beck Harrison has joined the chat, which is always a wonderful thing. And definitely enjoy her stirring up trouble in there. So should be a lot of fun. But, yeah, we're getting ready to so do you have any more updates, Holly, on your end before we get to our guest here?
No, I'm getting my workshops ironed out. So if you I had so many workshop submissions this year. You know, I had to vet them very well and very strategically. So if you didn't hear from me for one, you know, try for next year. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of panels coming out. So as soon as I get the workshop scheduled in, then I will round out the panels and send out the panel surveys very soon. I hope to send those out sometime next month.
Yes. Yep, they're coming next month. We'll get all that wrapped up.
I'm giving some last-minute individuals time to actually put in their guest application because there's always some stragglers and people getting a word out because cons are starting back up. From the pandemic mess and all that, there's a lot of cons that are starting to rev back up. And as the word gets out about Imaginarium and stuff more so, we will get some more applications coming in. So I don't like to backtrack. So I'm trying to get, you know, everybody in there that I can and get them registered and all that before I send out the panel survey so I don't have to go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it easier on me.
Yes, that's always a good thing, you know, when you make something just a hair easier for Holly, because it's a lot of data, and we've got a larger guest field this year than last year. I mean, it's if you haven't browsed our guest list, it is incredible, and it's from all around the country, from California to New York to everywhere between, Canada. I mean, we've got people come from all over the United States, lots of new faces. Today alone, a couple the panelists today are brand new faces, for example, and lots of faces that you're familiar with. Who will be returning favorites, of course. But there's a lot of new faces as well. So it should be a really, really interesting, really interesting year for sure. So yeah, absolutely. And yeah, definitely looking in here. Yeah, we got Duck Northwest Media. I'm going to give a shout out to a new guest in the chat room here, and definitely hope you enjoy the show tonight. And I know that you know, somewhere out there, Pete Catania is listening, and poor Pet and Michael Gruber of Only Good Channel on YouTube, and lots of wonderful regular listeners out there. And we love you all. Thank you for listening. And don't forget, yeah, we do cross-posting of the shows on YouTube now. So those go up a few days after the live show. But, yes, subscribe to the Seventh Star Press YouTube channel, and that way you'll never miss a show. We get those up there, and you can go and enjoy them in a very easy-to-use way from the YouTube app. So, yeah, definitely another way to listen. Of course, the live show always is, you know, typically on Wednesday nights. Sometimes we've had it on Thursday, but yes, tonight, I'm good. Yeah, tonight we've got the main event, folks. The main event. That's right. That's right. It is time for our featured guest. And tonight's featured guest needs no introduction. He's an award-winning author who is the literary sage and creator of works such as The Mourner's Cradle, Poisonous, the coming-of-age novel Anybody Wants to Play War, and the highly acclaimed Black Carmenia series that has been taken audiences by storm. And he's known to cavort with golden dragons at times. He's a wonderful guest at conventions and is just coming off the AuthorCon weekend. And so I bring to you Imaginarium favorite, Star Chamber show favorite, the one, the only, the inimitable Tommy B. Smith. Welcome, Tommy. Your mic's on.
There you are. So you say I need no introduction, and then you go ahead and give me an introduction anyway.
Yes. Well, I had to.
That works. That
rolls.
But you didn't need it, though, but you got it anyway. That's the key.
Because you deserve it.
Why not?
And we wasted no we did not spare the budget either. We even ran a soundboard clip there, you know, the crowd and everything, so. Yeah, spared no expense on the introduction, and hopefully, like I said, it gets you in the right mood because you're coming off a convention weekend, probably having that nice post-con lag, or maybe that's finally wearing off a little bit, but great to have you with us again. Sometimes you've co-hosted shows such as the famous Christmas, however many Eves we need to be the Eve. Whatever that falls on. You typically co-host. So you have jumped in and guest co-hosted, but tonight you are on the guest chair as a featured guest. And how have you been, Tommy? It's been a little bit since we spoke live to you. So what's the latest?
I have been busy. Quite a bit happening lately. Busy on the writing front and as well as along many other avenues. there always seems to be something happening. So, of course, I just got back from AuthorCon 2 presented by Scares That Care. And that was a good weekend. And then, of course, continuing to write. I had the new book come out. Everything in between. I've got six cats. That keeps me quite busy.
Yay, cats. That's awesome,
never
man. Never too many cats.
Well.
I don't know. Tommy may disagree because he's had quite a few extra cats.
I don't know how many is too many, but I know that 11 is a lot more than six. I know the moment for six cats, there's quite a bit from the resources required for 11 cats. So I know this from personal experience.
Well, I know our two cats. I can't imagine six, but our two cats, they are very needy and you know, spoiled. So, yeah, I know the cost. is ridiculous, especially with the prices of everything now. Kitty litter is insane.
Yes.
I'm like, are you kidding me? They're doing the deeds in there. You know, it's not like it's, you know, I don't know, food or thing, you know, that you absolutely have to have. I guess you have to have kitty litter, but I mean, you can use clay. You don't have to use the scoopable. And all that.
You can use that. You can use newspaper as well.
And it's trash. Yeah.
Yeah, shredded newspaper.
Price.
Yep. Well, our cats have excellent production in that area, so yeah, we do have a need for it. Yeah, they're very productive. So yeah, it's a needed thing. But they are listening to the show tonight because they have both met Tommy, and they think a lot of him, and they are listening to the show tonight, both Albert and Victoria. So, cat. I bet you they're probably a lot more cats. I bet you, Carol's cat has been known to listen to the show and others. So, you probably have some cats in the audience tonight. Yeah, Tommy. So
very nice to have some listeners from the feline community.
Yep.
Yeah, I bet you Amy has a few listening, but they tend to flock to the show when you're on. But after the AuthorCon is really one something I wanted to ask you about because I have heard so much good about AuthorCon in just the 2 years it's been around. I've heard lots of good things from a lot of authors that I have love and respect, like you. And I read your post, of course, the other day, and it seems like that, it's a really, really a good event. And, I'd like to hear just, you don't have to go through a blow-by-blow kind of description of your entire weekend, but give us a little bit of insight about what it's like, the programming, the kinds of guests that are there, the kind of layout it has, because I think it's something that, people need to hear about because it's getting a lot of good word of mouth.
Oh, definitely, and the charity as well, the charity aspect. AuthorCon is presented by Scares That Care, which was an event that was carried out for many years. AuthorCon stemmed from that. So it is a charity event, but it's many, many different authors coming to raise funds to benefit actual humans, families. So it's an excellent cause. Each year, there's a different family, different people who are selected to benefit from the charity. And it's put on by individuals, Joe Ripple, Brian Smith, and, of course, Brian Keene, and quite a few others put in a lot of work on the event. And, of course, this being AuthorCon, the focus is us authors. So there's a fairly strong horror presence here. I had a good time with the event. I had heard about it for years. Jay Wilburn, though, he is no longer with us. But I would recommend anyone who wants to read more about it, read Jay Wilburn's write-up about the event from last year, from the 2022 event, which I did not make it to. But after reading that, I decided I had to go. So when some room came open, I decided to throw my hat into the ring and try this year's. And, it was a really nice event. The organizers do everything they can to make you right at home. It's an excellent crowd as well that comes out. A lot of horror readers, a lot of people who descend on this event to buy books, diehard readers, horror fans. It's excellent getting to chat with all your creative peers and, some legends in the field and just readers who are really passionate about, about the work that you yourself are passionate about in a different way as an author. But you can make that connection over that and over your mutual love for horror, for books, and for what it's all about. It was really a pleasure connecting over the weekend. And there really is so much I could talk about with that experience. But yeah, in a nutshell, cool. It was a good time.
You were on some programming, weren't you? Some panels?
Yes, I had a couple of panels.
Right?
Yes, I had a couple of panels on Saturday. Saturday was I had the Psychology of Horror was the first one, and that was moderated by David Sims, who is an author and also a psychologist. And there were several others of us on there. And it was a really interesting panel. That one got a little intense. But
I want to know what you mean by intense.
You had to be there.
You had to be there
on that one.
Okay.
We had some interesting talks. But after that one, I had quite a few people come down afterward to speak to me about that, and so that was, you know, that was another connection, you know, that I appreciated, and new readers as a result, apparently. So
we may be doing that similar panel. David Sims, I just spoke with him today.
David Sims,
which is,
yes,
that's so funny. We just spoke about this because he said it went over well, and he wanted to like bring it together for Imaginarium and try it. And
yes.
So I said, let's do it. And he's saying the room was packed, but he said it's like a music and horror and spec fic, and how the two work together is how he was explaining it to me.
Yes. Yes, I recommend you do, because that was, we had quite a few people interested in that one, and it did draw a lot of interest, even afterward, people coming down to talk about it. So
we can right. come and find out for ourselves what Tommy means by intense.
Yeah. Yeah,
there will be an opportunity.
I'm very curious about it.
Yay.
It sounded cool. Yeah. It did. I was like, well, this sounds very cool.
Yes.
And that's what I'm always looking for, you know, is that's stepping outside the box, and especially the cross-genre aspects of anything, adding horror with, you know, different things. I'm talking to Mr. Guillotine, Mr. Jim, few of us know, of course, about doing one that mixes, like, love and horror. So that's going to be interesting, too, so keep your ear out for that next week. But, yeah, that's going to be cool. But, yeah, I love these cross-genre panels.
Yeah, they go over well. So you had that one, and what was the other one, Tommy?
The other one toward the end of the day was Cosmic Horror. So, and that's,
nice.
You know, Cosmic Horror I've been doing off and on throughout the years. You know, you've read Pieces of Chaos. Some of the stories within that collection of short stories were Cosmic Horror. And now the Black Carmenia series is especially once it expands into the new book, Oblivion's Child. You really get full-blown Cosmic Horror in the new book. So we had a talk about that. The moderator was Mary San Giovanni, who has written Cosmic Horror for quite a long time. She's been at it for about 20 years. And has got a nice catalog of work, a very talented author. And we had a really good time with that one. Also, also at the convention, I met Robert Ottone, who is, he was really a pleasure to get to know Robert. And he was on that panel as well. And let me see, he's got his novel, The Triangle, is nominated for the Bram Stoker Award this year. Got to chat with him for a while. Like I said, really pleasant individual. And the panel was also sharing a panel with interesting, knowledgeable, and decent panelists really makes a difference. We all had a good time with it.
That's Mary San Giovanni is an extremely talented writer, and I can imagine that was a high quality panel, and perfect for you. So yeah, cool that you got to. How many days does it run, and do they have programming on all the days, or is it just got, like in the book fair, or how what's the setup like? It's, I guess, what I'm getting at.
It's it's a 3-day convention, and you have panels going on throughout, and also readings.
Mm-hmm.
And then other events. I believe there was an evening with Edgar Allan Poe that and there are some certain events which are ticketed. There was also the boot camp, the workshops, some of those instructors.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see who all. Tim Wagoner was one of them. Jeff Strand and several others. So anyone interested in learning more about the craft of writing could definitely, any of those guys are very knowledgeable, been in the business for a very long time. So that was going on. I didn't actually, I arrived after that part, but at the beginning of the actual convention, But that happened, and as well, there were some other events that were ticketed as well. And then there are the standard panels and readings and what have you. And then you have the the vendors hall, basically. But you have various areas, like out in the main hall, and then the vendor room, and then upstairs you have the panel rooms, and that's sort of how it's laid out. And you have the auditorium,
cool.
which you have events, such as the opening ceremonies. And and then you have the famous gross out contest, if you've ever heard of that, which is held at Scares the Care and at KillerCon.
Yeah, I heard about the one at KillerCon. I didn't know they did it at a Scares the Care event, but that's cool. That's awesome.
So that was interesting, which I did not participate this particular time. I did participate at last year's KillerCon gross out contest.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first time I had ever done that, but I went ahead and threw it in.
Nice.
And this one, I just wasn't prepared. I'd been so busy and had so much going on, I really didn't have anything prepared. But we dropped in to watch, at least watch and listen and see what everyone else is going to do. So that was really interesting. And sometimes some new authors that you've never heard of can really get up and throw a big surprise into the room. And but it's interesting discovering new people, you know, in that fashion.
That is cool.
I think a newer
author,
Megan Stockton. She won second place in the gross out contest, but that was interesting. She did really well, and that's I had never heard of her in the past. That she may be fairly new, but she landed second. So
very nice.
I know talked about, I've heard people talk about that, before, and it always cracks me up. I wish they would actually record that one. And maybe we can make it. I said maybe we can make it next year and actually see it. I think it'd be cool.
Yes, if the
Steven
gross out contest is
there.
Actually. Yes, there's actually no recording allowed to get the gross out contest. They say what happens at the gross out contest stays at the gross out contest. So you've got to be there.
Nice.
That's awesome.
That's good. Well, for obvious reasons.
I guess so.
Yeah, make everybody a little more comfortable about diving into that. Oh, man. That's too funny, too funny. But so what time did you head out? Did you head out Sunday or did you come back, do a Monday drive back? You had a little bit of a haul.
It was some. Yes. It was in
Pennsylvania.
We headed out.
Where you were?
Is it
Pennsylvania? Were you in Pennsylvania? Is that where it is?
No, that was Virginia. Williamsburg, Virginia.
Virginia. Okay, Virginia. Okay. Williamsburg, really?
Yes.
Did you go dress in a tricorn hat and have some clam chowder and Colonial Williamsburg while you were there?
Well, you know, actually, that's exactly what I intended to do, but I didn't have a lot of time, so I had to get on the road.
That is a fun thing to do in Williamsburg, though, is the reenactment historical stuff there, Colonial Williamsburg. I have fond memories of that place, but that sounds like a great
never
weekend.
Been. Yeah,
I wish I had had more time to spend in Williamsburg itself, but
yeah, I just want to get a photo of you in a tricorn hat, and I can use that as a promo pic for you for here on out on your graphics and stuff.
No,
all right, maybe we'll make that happen next time I go to Williamsburg.
Is it always there, Tommy?
As far as I know,
okay.
This is the first one I've done. I know that they have been doing it here, but I don't know for a fact that it's always been.
Okay.
But because the original Scares the Care event went on for years, so I would have to reach back a ways, but I know this is where they do it now. I would have to do a bit more research on that.
Okay.
Yeah, because last week we were talking World Fantasy Con, and we were talking World Fantasy Con last week with Virginia Smith, and that's one that changes cities every year. So, we know that some conventions have different models. Yeah, we will
be
going to the one in
Kansas City.
Yeah, Holly and I will be in Kansas City this year for that one.
We will
so
on staff. I don't know what we're doing yet, but
we are. we're on staff for World Fantasy Con.
World so, Fantasy, yes.
You'll see us there. So, Tommy, I don't know how far you are from Kansas City, but yeah, we'll be wearing
really
staff
not that,
hats.
Really
there.
Not that. Really yeah. Not that far.
Well, come see us,
yeah.
Tommy. Come see us.
Yeah, that's a pretty pretty awesome event.
Look at my itinerary.
Yeah, it's got some really hard hitters as far as the literary world goes. I mean, they've had guests like Neil Gaiman and Brandon Sanderson, all kinds of great, great guests. So it's going to be a lot of fun to actually be there on staff and participating on that angle. So
I don't doubt it.
That'll be a lot of fun. But yeah, this sounds like a great event and definitely one that's for a great cause. And so I hope the authors out there check it out. It's AuthorCon for Scares That Care. And this was AuthorCon 2. And yeah, it's one that you can catch Tommy B. Smith at. So that's the reason alone to go, folks. But that's great, man. I'm glad you, and I'm glad you actually had a successful trip. You came back with the same vehicle that you left with.
Yes, you know,
a very
and that's
good
how
thing.
I determine whether a con is a success or not. It's like right. Your vehicle is still there, and so you get to leave.
Right. So
that's every bit
that's
as important
your case,
as getting there. It's sort of like getting a vehicle, and the gas pedal works, but, you know, the brakes are very important, too. The brakes are just as important as the stopping is just as important as the starting, if not more so. So,
right. And we are, don't ever forget, though, if you need a stopover, you're always welcome to stop by in Kentucky because, Virginia's to the east of us. So and that's a good they got a lot of good stuff going on there.
I promise.
And then,
I promise I'll feed you good. I will feed you.
Oh, yeah. Yep, and provide you with entertaining cat entertainment because we've got two feisty ones, of course. But yeah, let's talk about the Black Carmenia series because Oblivion's Child, which of course is the second book in the series, has just come out in a paperback edition as of March 2023, and of course the first book, New Era, highly well received book with lots of killer reviews, and so this one expands and builds off of the first. So I'm not going to divulge anything. I'll let you choose what you want to offer the audience, spoilers or not. Tell us about the series and what you've done in book two.
Well, it takes a bit of a different approach from the first book. Everyone who's read New Era has been introduced to the world of Black Carmenia. And that was Black Carmenia series, as I said, falls under the umbrella of Southern horror, but each book presents a slightly different angle of that world. So whereas New Era is set in central Louisiana in the early 1980s, Oblivion's Child picks up in Florida, on the Florida coast in 1986. So this introduces the character of Xander, who is a 9-year-old boy, and his grandmother and his Aunt Helen. Now, Aunt Helen has been catatonic for some years now. His grandmother tells him quite a few stories. There's a lot of mythology and other assorted folk tales and different stories that she, and in some ways this Oblivion's Child is a story about stories, but this is how it opens, is Xander and his grandmother on the beach, and a storm comes down, a very hard storm, and the situation, their place in reality begins to shift. Now, Aunt Helen Sinclair, tends to mumble in her sleep, quote-unquote sleep, her catatonia. Many of these words are not words at all, but silently trip into themselves and into chaos. So, it's sort of
considering if you've read Pieces of Chaos and that style of fiction, this is sort of, if you were to read a single novel, if you were to take a story out of Pieces of Chaos and it were to be novel length. So, so it's some people are going to wonder after they've read, especially particularly people who read New Era, and I'll back up just a minute. Those readers who have not read New Era may pick up Oblivion's Child. They're not going to be completely lost because this approaches from a different angle. This is sort of a different part of the story. At the same time, readers who have read New Era are going to read this, and they're going to make certain connections that the other readers who haven't read it will not. There's going to be some aha moments, some connections, because this is within the same universe. And the connections will become more and more apparent. But like I said, it doesn't have to be. You're not going to pick this one up and New Era ended on a cliffhanger and you have no idea what's going on or who anyone is. But actually, Oblivion's Child introduces some new characters, brings some new characters and situations into the mix.
Very cool. Yeah, I love the.
So, do you have to read any of the other books prior to reading this one to fully understand, or would you suggest it?
No,
to fully,
like Pieces
of
Chaos.
What you're coming across with in this book?
Oh no, no, no! You don't have to read. You don't have to read. I mean, you can pick this one up and read it, and I think you'll do just fine.
Okay, it's a standalone then. Okay, okay.
Well, in a certain way. It does stand on its own.
Okay.
But there are a lot of connections and overlaps between other works. So people have read some of those, like particularly with New Era, or in from a certain perspective, Pieces of Chaos. There will be a certain understanding, a certain enrichment that will be there for those readers. But you can pick up Oblivion's Child without having read any of that and just author Steve Stratt read the book and had some nice words to offer about it. And he hadn't read New Era either. He had no problem following it. But at the same time, it is interdimensional horror. It is cosmic horror. So following it is going to be, you know, a different experience than following a linear, but it is a linear path through time as we normally would.
Yeah.
These are one of the kind of books that I just would almost have to tell someone, just read the book and you'll understand. But at the same time, yes.
Yeah, it's a good, great cover. I really like it. The cover is intriguing. It's like, yeah, you have a kind of silhouetted child on the front, and you can't tell whether they're being swarmed or are they dissolving. It's because of the word Oblivion's Child tilts you toward one thought, but it's an intriguing cover because it has a little bit of mystery about whether, you know, what's exactly happening there. So was that the same artist? Because the first one, New Era, you had a comment on that in the last time we talked about that. That was a great cover. And, it's the same artist, same designer?
Different artist this time.
Different artist? Yeah, because it looks really good. Yeah, I like it a lot. And Pieces of Chaos, by the way, is actually my intro to you and your work. So that's cool that there's a little bit of a reference connection a little bit in some way to that. But you're not going to get a better paperback price because currently on Amazon, you can get both of these books for $7.99 each. So you can get both books for the low price of $16. So that's a pretty darn good price to get these. And they're not a door stopper size book. So it's something that, you know, you'll be able to, you know, read in a reasonable amount of time and enjoy quite a bit. So, they're only $7.99. So that's another selling point. And of course, you got a Kindle edition option that I see there. But it's a intriguing book and I can't wait to, actually get my hands on this one, the print edition. I know I'm slacking. I need to order this. but yeah, this is looking good, Tommy. And is that the main one that you were pushing at AuthorCon, and did it go over pretty well?
Yes, that was the new one. Or you know, for those who want to start it from the very beginning of that series, new era. So just the Black Carmania series in general. Some people prefer to start with new era. Some people just may want to check out the newest book, and it's fine either way they want to do that. Oblivion's Child and Poisonous were the two top sellers at Presented by Scares That Care. And I just made a post earlier. It was interesting that Poisonous, being a novella that came out back in 2012, that this past year, you know, since COVID receded and we've been getting out doing more events again, I've noticed that events have been a lot better attended. But I've also noticed that this book that was released, you know, back in 2012 is often my biggest seller at a lot of these events. Mm-hmm. And I was sort of considering that, and considering how, well, and it was a book of more of a slasher, extreme horror type book. And it was a novella at the time. And I had posted that I found difficulty finding a market for it because many publishers had guidelines mentioning that are prohibiting gratuitous violence, which it is the most violent thing I've ever written. And it was a polarizing book once it was released. But now it seems like there's an entire new audience and crowd seeking extreme horror. And it seems like this book is really picking up steam, even though it's more than 10 years old now. So, but it tied with Oblivion's Child at AuthorCon.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the dynamic.
Everything cycles. Everything cycles. And, you know, horror for a while seemed to, people were concerned because, you know, horror wasn't selling as great as like other. And I was like, it'll come back around.
Right.
It'll come back around. And it
like
seems
metal.
To be doing just that. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Like Steven said,
it's like
metal as well. Yes.
Yeah, it's like heavy metal. It has moments where it's in the sunlight and hugely popular, and then it'll kind of go underground for a little bit, but then it'll come back. But it's always there, and it's always chugging, and it's always got a core of support. And you know, people that definitely are there for it. So, yeah, it's great, to hear that. And that also illustrates why small press, independent press, you know, self-published world, all those things are good because a book like that actually has a chance to have that kind of lifespan and surge later, whereas something that's, you know, already made its run in a major press release would already be, wouldn't even be visible at this point. Necessarily. And this is definitely a testament to why, this is one of the unique things that this kind of independent press and stuff offer, I think, authors, is the chance to have a longer lifespan and chance for a book that may not make it right when they release it, but maybe it's going to, in 10 years, it's going to be the right time and boom, here it comes, you know? And so that's something to consider too. And I'm sure you got some accolades on The Mourner's Cradle, because that one, wow, did that get a lot of great critical response when that came out.
Yeah, there were a number of copies of that one did go as well. That was pretty well, for the most part, from what I can tell, pretty well regarded. So I always appreciated that.
This is a new edition, by the way. I'm chuckling.
The Imagined Award some years back. So.
Yes, it did. Yes,
yeah,
it did. You're an Imagine Award winner, and it looks like I may have to get another copy of Piece of Chaos, because I have another cover, so I have an earlier edition cover, but yeah, the one that I see on Amazon is different from the one I have, so yeah, I may have to get that to just so I have all the pieces of chaos together. Oh man, that's cool.
Well, I had a first edition copy of Poisonous. That was actually the last one, and I brought that to Scares, or to AuthorCon, Scares That Care, and that went up to Silent Auction, as well as a poster, and that's gone now. So really now it's all, if you have a first edition copy of that, then It's yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
collector's item
edition, because that's.
So tonight after the show, everybody's going to check their bookshelf. They're going to run to eBay, and they're going to make some big money now. And there's if they got one of the early copies. But yeah, your book
also
came out and posted. Yeah,
came out and posted a copy of this first edition. And
yeah, that's nice. That's nice. You got a really good. Yeah, really, the prices are all great. They're all available. Yeah, they all got Prime delivery if you're on Amazon. Encourage you to browse the titles and definitely pick these up. And I'm assuming that, yeah, you're probably knee-deep into the next Black Carmenia book, or what's on the works in progress plate right now?
Well, I actually just placed, I'm not going to say the finishing touches, but I placed the final editorial touches before it goes off to the beta readers and all of that. And then so that's really mostly done, except for that, you know, the revision edit and then final edits will be yet to come, but and then that will be finished. And the Black Carmenia series will be officially three books. That's not to say that something else won't occur in that universe, but the official Black Carmenia story arc is going to be three books. So, and then that'll be that.
So it could become a four-book
later,
trilogy, possibly, and defy
yes.
the standard definition
well,
trilogy.
Could be. But it'll be later. That'll be book three will be later this year, earlier next year. People can watch for that. And, you know, and considering that New Era, the way it ended, sort of gave everyone an indication of which direction it might go. And now Oblivion's mm-hmm. Child is out. I'll be interested to see what people make of the ending of that book, because it really is, it's not the same as the way New Era ended.
Yeah.
Going to have to wait and see. There will be one more on that. So.
Very cool. Very cool. And I think you mentioned that you have been getting back into some short story writing, and you care to comment on that or what's in that area?
Absolutely. You know, it's been... Well, speaking of Pieces of Chaos, I mean, this is 2023, Pieces of Chaos, released in 2013. So it's been almost 10 years
mm-hmm.
by this time. I still enjoy writing short stories. I enjoy reading them as well. And that was how I started out as an author, is for years I wrote short stories and worked to sell them to different publications, magazines, and the like. And so mm-hmm. that's still a link I can appreciate. And sure, I'd like to go back to, and especially in between projects, sometimes I will stop and write a few short stories, what have you, and seek
right.
markets for that material.
Mm-hmm.
So probably I will churn out a few short stories before I leap into the next book length project.
Very cool. Yeah, because Pieces of Chaos was so good, and I love that collection. So I would love to see another short story collection from you. Yeah, you can write long format prose or short format, except both exceptionally well. So
thank you very much. Looking forward
to that. I will try to get these Black Carmenia books caught up on my plate reading-wise before I see you this summer. You know how. How crazy the world gets in our authors, you know, the book world. But I should be able to get that caught up. So yeah, I'll be able at least talk to you about the endings at least. That'll be fun. That will be a lot of fun.
Well, you know,
I
walked away from AuthorCon. I went out there and I signed a ton of books. And I'll tell you one thing. The more books I sign year by year, my handwriting just gets worse and worse.
that's good.
I also left with a stack of books because you know, I'm still a reader, as I always was. So
yes, you are.
Yeah,
there's Holly.
I enjoy it.
She spoke from the nether.
Years.
Holly, I heard Holly's voice like a celestial something on the nether there. What were you saying, Holly?
I'm here. Yeah.
There you are.
Well, we always tell people, you can't be a writer without being a reader. You know, we've heard authors say, "Oh, I never get a chance to read. I don't read." Well, you cannot be a writer without being a reader. It's the same way with an editor. You've got to read to expand your brain, your mind, and see other techniques, you know. You've got to be a reader.
Yes, well, you ask someone if they can read and write. I mean, how many people say, well, I can write, but I can't read, you know?
Right.
Exactly.
Or correct. Should say correct, just to be clear. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yep.
But, I think that's where that's where most of us came from. You know, we started as a reader and as a fan of what it is that we do. And, of course, you know, we all begin with our influences, and gradually we edge away from that as we discover our own voice and what we're about. It does not mean we desert our influences or we no longer appreciate them. It's just I still enjoy reading more in the world of books as well as being a writer. And I walked away with a whole stack of books. Got to have a good lengthy chat with Kenzie Jennings Friday night. I don't know if you're aware of, if you're familiar with Kenzie.
Not yet.
First met her at KillerCon some years ago.
Uh-huh.
She's got a new collection out. Always Listen to Her Hurt. So I would recommend that. That's more psychological horror, I would say.
Love it.
Kenzie Jennings, Always
Listen
to Her Hurt.
Psychological. I don't know her, but I am going to look that up because the psychological aspect. I love psychological thrillers and horrors, and you know, makes you think.
Oh yes, absolutely. And Laurel Hightower, you know, she did Imaginarium once before. She has a new collection out as well. Yes, every woman knows this. That's the name of her new collection. So I got a copy of that as well.
Cool.
Of course, Jeff Strand just did the novelization of Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, so I had to get a copy of that.
Right.
It's been a while since I've watched the movie.
Great.
But yeah, it's a good
place
book.
I remember that book when I was a kid. Loved that book. What
nice.
Was it? No, it wasn't the Killer Tomato. It was Spaghettis and Meatballs. Did you ever see the... animated films that they did of those years ago?
I don't know that I saw that.
They're cute. I watched them with the kids. They're really cute.
Yeah. Yeah, those are a lot of fun. Yeah, so you got a good haul. Yeah, you got yourself a couple tote bags of books.
Speaking of short stories, I got it. There are a few short stories in some of those collections, but I still enjoy reading all that. we received a phone call sometime during the con that while we were up in Virginia, there was a lot of tornadic activity sweeping through down here in our area.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was actually
watching
the middle
that
part of the state. Well, as you know, we live in tornado country down here. So I started having to send texts and try to find out if everyone's all right. No one I know of suffered any kind of injury or anything like that. But there were areas that were just demolished.
Little Rock got hit hard.
Yes, Little Rock, yes.
Yeah. But we were watching that close because it was coming straight at us, and it hit near touchdowns all over Indiana. And we were, Holly and myself and Beck and Jordan were watching that radar because it was looking like it was going to come right through central Kentucky, and for some reason it kind of ebbed out by the time it got to us, so it was just a storm. Still knocked out the power, but it wasn't a tornado.
Only for an hour. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, electric was only out for a couple hours this time. But, it's almost like it just ebbed out when it hit Kentucky, but, I mean, in Indiana, I mean, it was – I mean, there were just a slew of tornadoes touching down, and they were big, too.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Tornado warning after tornado warning. And Louisville, we've seen a lot of our friends on Facebook
Louisville.
That have showed, you know, some really wild footage.
Not fun.
Sure.
Not fun at all.
Back,
but
Yeah, on our way back, we passed through the Little Rock area. We didn't actually drive through Little Rock as it was. West Little Rock, mm-hmm. I think, was hammered the hardest. But mm-hmm. we, along the highway, we passed an area that we saw where some of the damage had struck. And it's sort of a wooded area. There's a park up that way, Burns Park. But we passed by that. And so at some point, you get up a little closer and rather than trees, you've got wooden spikes jutting up from the ground where trees used to be. So many of the trees were snapped in half. So there were trees lying mm-hmm. down all over the ground, and then wooden stakes jutting up from the ground. And then there were construction crews, cutting a lot of that down, picking up, and what have you. So we did see that.
Right.
But here where we live is on the western tip of the state, so we really didn't have much but scattered storms in this area.
Right. That's good. I mean, I'm very glad absolutely. You've had enough adventures at conventions. You need to have a smooth mm-hmm. one.
Yeah.
But
yeah, right. Agreed. Totally.
But glad you got a good haul. I've got to shuffle around my reading list and tackle yours. Yeah, I've got finished two right now. I'm revisiting C.S. Lewis's Space Trilogy and reading Out of the Silent Planet now, which incidentally is where King's X got the idea for the name of their debut album. And then also
I knew you
Fifth
would go
Mountain,
there, but yes.
Yes, of course. And the Fifth Mountain by Paulo Coelho, who I just adore that author, and very deep and very thoughtful author, insightful, very wise. And that's a great story. It takes place in the ancient ancient Mediterranean, and it's a really, really interesting book. Yeah, because he has books that are set in some different time periods, but a lot of them tend to tilt more toward 20th century or so. And but it's this one goes way back, so it's a little bit of a different one. And so I'm really enjoying that. But once I knock those two out, then I'm gonna have to dive into some Black Carmania. And with time shifts, you should get Holly on board, because things messing with time. Holly's been on this hard deep dive on Mandela effect stuff that people are starting to notice more and more. So I won't let her get started because she will talk for hours on this. But she loves the Mandela effect kind of stuff.
That's all right. All right, we could probably all have that talk sometime in the future. That might get interesting.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We should have a whole night of Mandela. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we have friends that are heavy into it.
Some new era explores two different time periods, one story linking two different time periods, and Oblivion's Child is going to be a bit different from that. But the Black Carmania trilogy, basically, it's interdimensional. You may enjoy that aspect of it.
Aha.
Cool.
So.
But we can definitely
go,
have
Holly.
This conversation someday as well.
Glad to. God, Holly is deep into it. I love it. And we have some friends that are rather popular content creators on TikTok that are deep dived into some of that stuff. And so, we've had some good discussions on that. So I'd love to. And that's it. Yeah, but I figured that would intrigue Holly, because especially now that we finally get spring weather, nice 75-degree weather, blue skies, and we have a back deck that is just surrounded by trees. You got to come and see it yourself. But it's a perfect place to just sit, chill, and read. It's a great reading spot. So go outside, enjoy the shade under these big trees, and just read, and it's wonderful. So, we'll definitely have to bring your books out on that deck and give them a good read. So
I can appreciate back decks surrounded by trees. The only drawback, once years ago I had a place that had a back deck surrounded by trees, which was really nice. But the only drawback was that every so often a train would come rattling through. It was close to a train track. And when the train would shake the entire house, and it would seem as if the dishes, glasses, everything were going to come flying out of the cabinets. And the entire house was shaking, and the wife and I couldn't hear each other speak, and it was just. But then when that was gone, Everything was fine again. But it almost sounded as if the train was going to come crashing through the wall at some at any given time.
I get that.
That aside,
because
we had some good talks there.
There was a proving ground by us, and it's still there. If they don't bomb like they used to, but boy, oh boy, they used to bomb like crazy. It's a proving ground for like the military. The military owns that ground,
right.
It's several miles from where we lived. But my Lord, they dropped them bombs and
artillery,
I mean, being miles
and,
away from
stuff, mortar shells and all
rattled.
That. Yes. Yep. Yep.
Where our windows were rattled, you know, and things were off the wall, and I mean, it's just huge sounds. And you never know when they were going to do it during the day. Just wow, you know. Yeah, that was crazy.
Tommy,
I understand.
As I like to say, they're playing with the good stuff.
Definitely.
I know about that a little bit. Yeah, because I went to college. I was near Dyess Air Force Base where they had the B-1 Lancers, and they used to do some fun things with those times out in West Texas.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it could be a lot of fun. Yeah, but that's no fun. And but we're pretty secure in the. We have a couple of trees that we may eventually get down because we're a little concerned about some of the high winds situations. But we have a massive tulip poplar. We have a massive tulip poplar. It's just a giant, and it's right off the deck, and it's the one that shades the deck, and but even that one got swayed in that giant storm that came through about a week and a half, or when we lost power for like that 4 or 5 day period. Yeah, that it actually was big enough to sway the poplar. That made me a little unnerved. that was a little much to watch that, because we're talking a big tree.
Wild.
I mean, just big. Yeah, big, huge diameter tree. Yeah. And it even was swaying that. And I was like, oh, my God. The cedar trees are one thing, but when you see that poplar move, I mean, that's a little concerning. It's
understandable.
But definitely got to have the good reading spot. So, we're going to try to hang in there with that poplar there because it makes it really nice. Yeah, natural shade for the deck. So, glad you got a good haul. Glad you got some short story works coming along and finishing up a book three in the series. And sounds like you're rolling this year. And you said you are hitting a few more events here in 2023. Now, of course, we've already mentioned you're coming to see us this summer. But what are some of the other events that you're going to go and definitely give some shout-outs to them and tell us some notes about them.
Oh, absolutely. Well, my very next event is going to be on April the 19th. It's going to be a local event down at our local bookstore. It's going to be presented by Bookish, but it's going to be down at the Bakery District. So they just moved their store. Around to the other side of the Bakery District, but they are still there in the Bakery District. And, they've got all of my work. I'll be up there signing books. I think there will be a couple of other local authors to this area signing books as well. They do quite different things than I do, but there'll be a good mix for all the readers in the area, in the Fort Smith area. And then I'll be doing my signing at the library, which I do every time I come out with a new release. I do a signing at the library. Actually my next few apparently are local because June 3rd to 4th I'll be doing Fort Smith Comic Con, which is one that's fairly new. They did it I think last year. It's either on its second or third year, I'm not entirely sure. I know they had it last year and I was elsewhere at a different event. But I'll try that. And then of course Stoker Con in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, I'll be there this year. In June.
Cool.
So,
well, if you need a stopover, we're Pittsburgh is probably close to on the way for us, and or you. I mean, so you might check that route.
All right.
Yeah, I figured you have to do some Fort Smith events because Holly, you know, they named Fort Smith after Tommy. So, I mean, I guess he has to do some local shows, you know.
right.
The city
right.
named after him.
Otherwise, they might change the name because I'm not around here now.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I have to keep up appearances.
Keep up here. And, well, a place that's near a bakery district. Yeah, so you can enjoy some good baked goods while you're doing the signing. That's a double bonus. I can't beat that. That's like when I did the Books and Bourbon signing at that Kroger Wine and Spirits. Quite enjoyable to be able to fuse those two things together.
Oh, yes. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Right. Those are your two strengths, right?
Yes. Done properly, yes. Yes.
All right.
Yeah. But, yes. But yeah, that sounds like some cool venues, and library events are always enjoyable. You definitely get some people that really are into the craft of writing that tend to pop up at those, and so that's cool, man. And then is it the convention stuff after that? And you're gonna start. You're gonna go to StokerCon.
Yeah, I've got I've got StokerCon in June in Pittsburgh. Then I've got SoonerCon in Norman, Oklahoma. And the end of June and the beginning of July, mm-hmm. called that Jaloon for some odd reason. That's a good word for it.
You've invented a new word.
Yes. So that would be June 30th through July the 2nd, a.k.a. Jaloon.
Are you doing during the Jaloon part of the year? You know, just to ask you. I'm going to try to practice on using that term now. So what events do you have during the Jaloon phase of the year? See, I'm working on it, Tom.
SoonerCon, because sooner rather than later.
That's awesome. Jaloon. Write it down, Holly. That's genius. Tommy gets inspired.
Mid-July, they're having this event up in Louisville, Kentucky, that I'm going to try out.
Something
called Imaginarium.
Something
you know. I tried that one for the first 9 years, and they're going to do it for a 10th year, so I thought I might see what happens with that.
Yeah. Yes. And then, are you booked out to August and September and all that, or?
Let's see. I think August that I've officially. Yeah, August I've got a Oklahoma City's HorrorCon. The start of August, and mid-August I've got KillerCon in Austin, Texas. And that's all officially that I've confirmed. But I have a strange feeling.
Pretty good run.
Maybe a couple more. So.
Yeah, pretty good run, man. That's a fairly active schedule. That's nice. Liking it. That's awesome, man. Yeah, take you to some different spots of the country, too, which is always
sure,
good to see.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I think it'll be a good time.
Yes. Got to make those cats at your house proud of you. Going out these doing the events.
Oh, absolutely. Got to make my cats proud, my six cats. As you know, they're watching my every move.
They do. Yeah,
they
got
do?
One
sink or swim, the cats are watching.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
They are. Yeah, two. We got two is enough to monitor us here. But you never know. You know, I might come across a mountain lion cub or something along the way, or, you know, you never know. So, but, oh, man. But that's good, man. That's a pretty hefty schedule. So, yeah, you got a lot going on, Tommy. I'm proud of you, man. That's good news. And nice balance, too.
Thanks.
Doesn't sound too crazy. Yeah, and especially, you know, that Jaloon part of the year.
Oh, yes.
That's awesome.
I know COVID and all that happened. Everyone had to scale back their events. I only did just, you know, whatever virtual events I had access to. And now, and I've told a few people this, and I don't recall whether I've mentioned it to you or not, but I remember in 2019, it seemed as if we were falling into this sort of culture. I personally was not, but many people sitting at home playing on their phones, people weren't really going out to attend events as much, and it was very noticeable. That was when I was going out to do my the Mourner's Cradle book tour and doing the documentary as well on the road, and just by some weird coincidence, most of those events were just, like I said, not well attended. It just didn't really work out that well. And now, after this, because everyone was sitting at home playing on their phones, ordering, you know, goods online, and everything was digital, and people were more inclined in that direction. But since everyone was forced to socially distance, to remain in their homes, to, you know, conform to the COVID restrictions, since all of that has sort of, now everyone is wanting to get out. And I've noticed it seems like record attendance at a lot of these events. And I've just, things have really, I don't know. I mean, it's an awful thing that COVID happened. So many people had to suffer, you know, and endure the sickness, you know. And some who didn't survive. But, I mean, if anything, anything positive was to come from it, at least that it had some sort of a cultural impact that the people can still come together, you know, and enjoy these events. And they've been doing that more than ever, I've noticed. So,
well, we saw the last 2 years, we've seen growth there, and we're already way ahead of where we were last year at Imaginarium. So it fits with your view of that for sure. I mean, I can tell you for sure. Yeah, so it's, you know, we see a lot of enthusiasm and no real inhibition. Nobody's too jittery about coming to a live event. And so, yeah, I think you're right. And I think people are understanding the value of in-person events and, you know, that you just cannot, you know, I mean, it's something that, no virtual event or other thing is going to really replace the value of a, you know, an in-person event. I mean, there's just some things that are intrinsic to live, can't get elsewhere. And, yeah, you really do, I think, forge, you know, stronger, you know, bonds with people and when you meet them and stuff,
yes,
when you're,
definitely,
you know, sitting down in person. And
yes,
I think it's a good thing. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think you got a point there for sure. But I'd be remiss if I did not ask you, did you finish the Fates Warning band biography?
Oh, yes, yes.
Get some of your musical interests, touch on that just a little bit.
Well, I really enjoyed just
thumbs
reading
up
about the history of the band. And,
yeah,
that was, I mean, you know, I'd been listening to them since, well, for years and years and years, you know, and I enjoy the early era, the John Arch era, you know, which is basically the metal Fates Warning, as well as the progressive rock Fates Warning, which is later years with Ray Alder and everyone else. But they are progressive. I mean, you can listen to one Fates Warning album, listen to one, for example, listen to Awaken the Guardian, and then listen to Perfect Symmetry and tell me they're the same band, you know. They do have some of the same members, but they are one of the most progressive rock bands / metal bands ever. So, but yet somehow they keep this constant within their sound that you can tell certain signatures that they stamp onto their music, but it's just, it's really interesting with Fates Warning. But yeah, I'm a longtime member of the band. I enjoyed reading about a lot of the history, so I'd like to see him
recommended
do another tour because the, you know, their very last album, which they're claiming to be their last album ever. Although in the book, I believe Jim actually says never say never, but as of now they're calling it their last album, but, and they're
well,
still
we've
going
heard that
tour
before.
Yes. Yes. Right. Because, but, and they've gotten years, you know, between albums. So, and they never did a tour for Long Day Goodnight. I would still like to see them do a tour for that. And I think my favorite song off that album is The Longest Shadow of the Day. So I'd love to hear that live.
Great track.
Yes.
Heck yeah.
That's like the epic off of that one. Penultimate
song.
That's
a gem. But
yeah.
Yeah, the Eagles swore they'd never do anything until Hell Froze Over and we got another Eagles album, you know.
And they released Hell Freezes Over. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, it happens. I mean, you can't, you know, and then, you know, Doc and was at war with each other after, and they came back and reunited again, you know. And so, I mean, there's lots of groups say they're done, and then magically, yeah, something happens, they come back. And, So it's a, you know, yeah, you can never say never. I think it's a, that's a good position to take. But you get out a little bit and you see some shows. I know. What did you catch some other good ones? I know you caught Merciful Fate, I believe, in
yes.
Dallas.
I got to go see Jerry Cantrell. You know, he was going out supporting his solo album, his newest one, Brighton. He was playing up here in Tulsa. So I went up and saw that. And Jerry is a phenomenal musician. You know, they played quite a few Alice in Chains songs, and he played some of his solo material.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, he's just,
yeah.
You know, I just,
oh, he's
Alice,
awesome.
The demise of Alice in Chains was, I mean, it was a sad thing to witness. I mean, you know, the drug addiction, all of that, that sort of, you know, drove Wayne Staley down into his misery and ultimate demise. But, I mean, Jerry, he still wants to make his music, you know, and I'm happy for him, and I'm there for that, you know. He's an awesome musician, and it was an excellent show, you know.
Yeah, it's I mean, they're awesome. Jerry was opening up some of the Bush shows on Bush's tour. We were hoping that we were going to luck out and get them as one of the openers for the show I took Holly to back in February. Unfortunately, we didn't. It wasn't one of the shows that they opened, but it was I really wanted to see that one. And, yeah, I could see him play. Because, but, I mean, I will say this, though, Tommy, and everybody listening. Yes, it was tragic when Lane, you know, passed, but William Duvall, I mean, like I said, you know, some bands, you know, I mean, when they're put in that position, you have to get somebody new in the band. And sometimes it works, you know, like AC/DC with Brian Johnson. I mean, and I tell you, William Duvall stepped in nicely, and they have three great albums that they've released since. It's weird because they only really released three full studio albums with Wayne Staley, and now they've got three with Duvall, with the Devil Put Dinosaurs Here, Black Gives Way to Blue, and then Rainier Fog was the latest. But they are all three of them are excellent albums. And no, it's, you know, you're not going to forget Dirt and Facelift, of course. But I mean, they need to be, I think, judged in their own right, and they're really good albums. And check out the last three that they've had, folks. If you like Alice in Chains, it's got the sound. They've got the vocal harmonies. They've got the riffs. They've got, I mean, Cantrell's all over it. And William's voice matches really well. I mean, if you had to replace somebody with Lane, I mean, I think they made the perfect choice, you know, and they didn't have any other choice. You know, they had, you know, to go on and, you know, make music. But, yeah, get that. And ironically, I did pick up what?
Who is opening for Bush when they come here to RUP next month?
Well, Bush is kind of a featured opener for Breaking Benjamin. They're kind of headlining it in a way, but Breaking Benjamin's getting the slightly bigger billing, but you can tell that Bush is not being seen as a opening act, but they're kind of headlining it in a way. I can't remember who is it Asking Alexandria or one of those bands? There's somebody on first, but Bush is in that middle slot. Yeah, and if you haven't heard the last two Bush albums, you're missing out, folks. They got heavy. they got almost metalized. They had some metal riffs in the last couple. It's crazy. And but yeah, Tommy, I did score a vinyl copy of Facelift. Finally got a vinyl copy.
Oh,
I've had a CD since it came out in 89, but I finally got a vinyl copy. So yeah, it's good for you to bring up Alice in Chains. Yeah, I'm kind of on a kick with them right now. But that's cool, man. Yeah, because I know that you and I share a lot of affinity for a lot of these kind of artists and stuff, and you get out to a few more shows than I do, but these days, but definitely hope I can start to catch up a little. Yeah, because that's a,
well, speaking of COVID, you know, on the downswing, it's really been a pleasure to go out and catch live music once again, because that was one of my favorite experiences, you know, besides the writing and everything else that I do, you know, and reading and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But music, music has gotten me through so much. Through so much. I know it has so many others as well. But
yep, can confirm. Yeah, it keeps me sane on many, many days. It creates my, as I call it, my literary bubble. And it's something that I did years ago before my first book was out, but if I just played music and I wrote to create a bubble that would kind of shield out distraction noises. It sounds weird, but it worked for me. And so, sonic bubble, and it works. And I put on certain things for certain kinds of scenes I'm writing. It just kind of just the energy of it. I'm not concentrating on the lyrics or anything, but the energy does kind of gird me a little bit when I'm doing a scary scene, a battle scene, kind of more ethereal scene. I mean, yeah, I'll shift around what I listen to a little bit when I'm doing that kind of stuff. But it works. It works, and I'm glad people are getting into it. Live music again, because we need more of that. But coming up on about
music.
Three. Oh yeah, yeah. Sorry, Tommy.
Oh, and I was going to say, you experience the music. You can feel the music.
Mhm. Mhm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. We've got the Pelicans. Yeah, Jordan and I have encouraged the Pelicans to listen to some metal, and they're real big into like Wage War and Bad Omens and I Prevail and Nothing More. And yeah, a lot of the bands that are in kind of that vein of things, but they're just loving it. And yeah, you could tell, yeah, they feel it. Yeah. When they've gone to the shows, cause they saw Wage War and Nothing More live and stuff like that. And yeah, they talk about feeling that kick drum when it hits you. That's a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun. But yeah, Wage War has a new album called Stripped, where they do acoustic versions of these of the very, very heavy songs, and it's brilliant, man. It's a heck of a good album. But coming up on about 2 minutes and 50 seconds, so on the live show. So I wanted to ask you to go ahead and give folks links, you know, social media links, anything you want as far as how to find Tommy B. Smith.
Well, you can find me at TommyBSmith.net, my website. Also, I now have a newsletter, which is Chaos Synthesis. So you can access that through the website and sign up for that. Please do. And
nice.
On Facebook at Facebook.com, Tommy B. Smith, and on Twitter as Pen of Chaos.
Yes. Yeah, Pen of Chaos. I love that Twitter handle. Used it today, in fact. I was just looking forward to the chat tonight, and I just thought, I'm going to tweet something out real quick. And, yeah, I know that one by memory. Pen of Chaos, yes. And but this has been great to catch up with you. I know it's you're just coming off a convention. I know you've been knee-deep and being very busy. So I want to thank you for joining us tonight, because it's been another spectacular visit with the, as I say, inimitable Tommy B. Smith. So thank you, man.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
Yep, and you know we'll have you on all the time, you know, as much as we can fit you in. Yeah, but we definitely want to take a stop now and then to put you in that guest spotlight, and because you deserve it. And
yep.
So yeah, thanks so much. And Holly, yeah, if you want to say some comments to Tommy and then wrap us up, yeah, this has been a great show. Thank you.
Yes, Tommy. Can't wait to see you. Just a few short months. It comes very quick. Take care, man. And I'm glad you had a really good time at AuthorCon. We'll definitely take a look at next year joining you. But, yeah, I'm glad you had a really good experience out there. And I'm glad you avoided, you know, the tornadoes and all the storms. And let's send out some good vibes and prayers and, you know, to all the victims. And I know there was a few today, too. But
yeah, unfortunately.
Come back anytime, Tommy. We enjoyed having you. Thank you for joining us. And everyone out there listening, join us next Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another great guest. And be creative. Yeah.